Committee of the Whole, November 5th, 2012.
Okay, we call Committee of the Whole meeting to order at 7:43. Roll call.
Trustee Wozinski?
Here.
Trustee Connolly?
Present.
Trustee Clemens?
Present.
Trustee Kukan?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
And Trustee Sandoval is absent. Item 2.1 is approval of the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of October 15, 2012.
So moved. Second.
Kukan, second by Vanselli. Questions or comments?
May I ask a very unique little question? We aren't usually talking draft on our things, and I know you explained it. Is this something we're going to see from now on and we'll work on the changing? I like it. I just didn't know why.
I think it was a clarification so people wouldn't get confused that these were the improvements.
Good job, Liz.
Any other questions? Roll call, please.
Trustee Simon Sully?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Trustee Chapon?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Wozinski?
Aye.
Motion carries. Human Resources and Finance, discussion of the options on the 57-acre property debt review.
Let me take that, Trustee. In front of you, it's just going to be informational discussion purposes, agenda item. We have 57 acres we purchased. We issued taxable debt at the time. We subsequently refunded that debt and GO tax exempt bonds, say about 200 basis points on interest rate, and that's a type of a lot of money on an annual basis in debt service. So now the question came up, what can we do with that land? In trying to use three options, several options, and whatever else there is out there. One would be just status quo. There are 67 acres out there, and we can pay with that as is. Of course, the other two are one sold land, and attached to the agenda summary is what happens if you sell the land, it automatically places into a bond fund to pay off the remaining debt. It goes backwards. You pay off your older debt first, which makes sense, and then whatever's remaining is still something else responsibly. But it's always the oldest first before. And the second, or the third, I'm sorry, is the market. As far as the tax consequences of marketing and developing that land and keeping it tax exempt, there is rational ways to keep it tax exempt if you develop it with a developer. That would be, though, an opinion of general counsel if that should happen. And it depends on the type of development, what you do with the land, you sell it, you give it away, or develop it there. That's it for the options I have. We're still looking at maybe other smaller options, but there's really, because it's packed and set, it's supposed to be used for general purposes only and for the general public.
Have we had any interest in the property? Anybody showed any interest in wanting to do something with it?
Over the last couple of years, we've had probably two people to interest parties.
Businesses, residential?
Well, it was like assisted care facilities. Residential and assisted versus retail. But, and nothing from that on.
That's a farmer's one, farmland.
Farmers, yes. Yeah, farmers have expressed interest, and as we said, when we got opinion last year from the bond council, they said no, nothing. Can you clarify, is this just the 8.3? Is that just for the 57 acres?
It's for both.
Yeah, so let's clarify that. That's what I wanted to know. Sure, everybody realizes, too, that the parcel of land between 134 and Nipperstein east of the bowling alley, the two parcels, no, one parcel, one we already own. And Avalon and 134, I said never seen, but Avalon and 134, and behind the homes, and it's immediately adjacent to, Clutch Jess is on the property, but the restaurant underneath the bowling alley, that purchase of that property is also in these bonds, too. So the total bond is actually not just 457 acres, it's for that other total parcel also.
So there's nothing, so the only options really are sell it or get somebody to come in and develop it for a mixed use, or there's no specific limitation on what the development would be, or?
Man, go ahead. All right, you've got tax exempt debt right now on the property, so the development proposition is actually a very tricky one.
Yes.
It would probably involve, and I don't want to speak for bond counsel, Steve, I think meant bond counsel, said general counsel a couple times, but meant bond counsel.
Should be modified, yes.
When you have tax exempt debt, you have a public purpose test that the IRS talks about. So anytime you're about to get private uses on property that's been paid for with public purpose debt, you have to do something with that debt before you do that. So, and what that something is would be driven by what the proposed private is. So there's two problems here you're dealing with. One is what to do with the property while you're holding the debt. And the answer is there's not a heck of a lot you can do with it while it has been funded with tax exempt debt. If you have a purchaser come along who wants to just take it off your hands, there's a lot we can do with it, but we just have to adjust the way the debt is structured before we get there.
So no matter what we do, we have to change, we have to deal with the debt, we have to restructure it in some way before we can even sell it.
If you're selling, yes, you're selling to a non-governmental, you're selling to a non-governmental user, there could be issues given the debt covenants because of the way that second round was financed. But a sale, you can accomplish a sale. You can accomplish a sale. that's not the problem we're dealing with. We're dealing with what can you do in the interim.
Right.
And the answer is you can't go out and lease the property because you have it carried with tax deferred debt.
They technically sell the land as I read it, and it goes into a bond. So how do I sell?
So yeah, but there could be, if you outright sell it and somebody wants to buy it, then you can get rid of it. But you have to put it in a bond fund, and it's got to be total sale. The issue I think you're talking about, Mike, is that if there's government involvement in structuring the deal where we're funding part of that for that right of use, then we got the issue with it. That's what I'm trying to
right.
That's what I'm understanding.
What I would suggest is that we just proceed on the assumption that if there's a sale of any type, we could probably accomplish it, but we may or may not have to adjust the structure of the debt. Because it's not as the IRS has a five-prong rule for how, for whether or not you're violating private purpose test or not, and determining whether you're violating is driven by exactly what you're doing with the property at the time. So the possibilities are fairly endless, but there's a lot of possibilities out there to try to talk about. But assume that if a buyer comes along that's viable, we can unload the property. The real question is what to do with it in the interim, and because it's there with tax deferred debt, not much you can do with it on an income basis to generate income on the property, and a private user. So if and now I'm really speaking hypothetically, if another governmental body wanted to pay you rent to use it, that would probably be okay under your debt structure, although I haven't looked at the exact covenants, but that would probably be okay.
Was this the only way to purchase this property?
It was a way to make it tax exempt to save the money. We couldn't afford the debt payments. Mm-hmm. Because once death certificates, it was about $700,000 a year we could afford, and as well as those leftovers. So that's why we made it, had it designed this whole remodel. There's just no other way we can do it.
So if it were taxable, that we converted it back to taxable debt, you'd have more flexibility?
Yeah, max flexibility if it's carried with taxable debt.
But what currently is it valued at? You have to put a number on
it. I just heard a whizzo.
What did you say, Mark?
Really rough, you know, 2.5. Mm-hmm. That's just really rough.
And was it named?
Yeah, you know, it was a price. That time it was over 100,000 an acre.
Yeah, it was over 100,000 an acre.
So the 80.3, is that what we paid?
Now that includes both.
That's both.
Yes, both parcels. So 7 is what?
So 7 is 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you were to sell based on the property values at this time, you have to put a lot of money into the bond fund to offload that at that point too. It would cost you right off the top.
Right.
The other different than that, there's a difference in purchase price versus the I'm illustrating concept wise.
Right.
So
I'm kind of thinking you have to leave alone.
We're stuck with a sticky wing.
Right.
I get that. I truly
do. Unfortunately.
But
we can't hurt the look until like you said.
Right.
And if it's at all possible, I'd love to have us talk with the bond council because I just can't believe that we can't find something creative and something within the allowances that allow us to at least make the property usable. Like, you know, like you said, perhaps another governmental agency or something. But I'd like to be sure that, you know, we're looking at all the aspects of it. We're not just letting this property sit here. We stuck with the payment. We got that part. That nausea. So we have, I think we just have to stay on it and be creative.
Also maybe looking at the long-term costs of that, is it maybe worth us to try and market it a little bit and get some commercial businesses in here so it's generating revenue that way. We may take a loss of unemployment, but the long-term gain plus employment could be another useful option if we do get somebody that's showing up interest.
I think for the ICSC, we got to win that.
That'd be a good thing to go to that property. See,
for
this is more gas.
For sale sign on the website, too.
This is more gas. This is our traffic flow.
As far as available properties within the village or village-owned, we try to promote that. It would be available for discussion. Again, right in that fine line of the tactic of what we can advertise or not advertise. So we're always looking at those options. And if the markets turn around where developers would be interested in it, we would definitely work on pursuing that to greater extent. Right now, it's spending as least money as we can, but to keep it out there that it could be available. I've also suggested some creative things like starting a small nursery area to build stock for Arbor Day. If we could get volunteers that would do the work so we wouldn't have additional expenses through Public Works to maintain it, if we could get some volunteers that, you know, like 4-H program or something like that, and some of the local nurserymen, landscapers, whatever, would be willing to teach children, adults, whatever, some things to promote planting. A novel idea of sweat equity from residents who want to replace trees on their property. Could we get a big enough group built up that they would do the maintenance on it, plant trees, and eventually be able to use some of that in the interim to do tree replacement, parkway tree replacements. But again, you run into, if you don't have volunteers, then we've got additional expenses, which we're trying to avoid. could we donate the property to a food pantry to plant gardens during the summer to help them out? Again, if they can supply the labor and we don't have the cost, that we're able to use the property in some way short term instead of just sitting there doing nothing. We keep looking at things that,
like
that might be creative.
And we have some farmers who want to farm it. While we can't let them farm it, we could ask them to work with them in this program to get us up and moving. And then, like you said, 4-H, Boy Scouts. I mean, so many clubs and organizations that might be able to help us get the volunteering thing going. We also have Kip Evans, who gave us a huge amount of trees this year and has offered to help us. We have some saplings that we didn't get to do this with, but with the saplings that he can get us more as well, at a very low cost, if any at all, so that we could get something started and he would show us how. We just need to get some people on board who are going to help us keep it moving.
Committed volunteers, and that will continue, as you said, to continue the program so it doesn't end up being an expense to the community to maintain it as well. But
cool. We don't mind. The CLC has a program, and how many college students would be interested in getting credits rather than dollars?
I think there'd be a lot of interest initially if this is
sustainability. Yeah, I agree, but I guess that's where we just have to work harder to make that happen as well. If we're going to make a commitment to start it, we sort of all have to make a commitment to keep it going. I guess I don't have green thoughts, so I'm the worst person to
We're going to look into see if town council can do a short presentation or something.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I said that last sheet there, an outstanding debt, that we could look at other debt, and it's most of them are not callable now for a while. 2003D, we refunded that already, and that will be gone this January 2013. And all the debt we've issued has already been refunded once. I don't know how presentation will be the last time, Council.
Okay.
So back to Jesse Simondelli's question, too. So we are trying to market it, but are we, I know there are many other sources that we can be marketing that property through. Are we doing it with just one source, or are we looking at multiple sources to market this property and get it out and visual and so-called on the market?
Well, if you want to enter into contracts with real estate, we can explore that, too. But we don't have access to MLS. We wouldn't be able to, market it that way, but we can do that. We can get proposals for that. If that's something you're interested in. We've got it on the web. I mean, I talk to realtors, time to time, saying, hey, don't forget that piece over there. You got somebody that's looking.
Yeah, but selling it really isn't an option.
Not exactly.
Well, it's money.
We may still have debt, but you also lower that interest payment that you would have in second mortgage. You get rid of a lot of the principal. I understand. Still debt out there. That being the case, but it's just something to think about. The whole thing, what we do, it lowers your interest and principal for the future.
Here's how we're going to continue this.
Just another option.
Yeah.
Any limitations or things of that nature, set the program for it, but I hope it works. If you rent it,
no,
then you open it up to whoever that's...
And I don't understand that we could not rent it.
The problem is that who's your tenant? So if you have a governmental purpose tenant, then they can likely rent it.
So has that been a place you've been looking for?
Not
sure. I'm
sure. Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean,
yeah, it's very narrow.
Would that be used like for the school? Extra offices?
We told them it's available. I don't know if they do.
I don't know if that's what they need to do.
There's no building on
it, is there? Hmm?
Right here. Oh, you're talking about that. I'm thinking
yeah,
that anchor, though, sir.
Because I know I just went to a meeting recently for 116, and they're like, we just don't have enough room to do this or that, or they're really tight for space. So have we touched on them? And we have, you know.
A couple years ago, talked to the new superintendent when we met. But, you know, if they mention it, then we got something, send them our way.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Zimmerman, does he need like 7 offices?
I don't.
What's your big new fancy law firm?
Definitely don't. We're long on offices right now. He might want an office out here.
I'm doing well. I don't think there was going to be a governmental purpose.
Okay, any other discussion on that item?
If it's possible, I'd just like to keep this item coming back until we can exhaust the option we can currently resolve. I know it's going to be humdrum, but.
All right.
Okay, on the public works. Facilities, capital assets, and engineering.
Thank you, first item is the purchase of a replacement air dryer for our air compressor in the public works facility. Came with the air compressor with the new facility. Our judgment's not repairable. It has ceased. We do use that air compressor today, and dry air will preserve the piping and, more importantly, the tools that we use. We did solicit quotes, and as indicated on the summary, we are recommending going to the Ingersoll Rand, which is a little bit of the same capacity.
Okay, we'll move that item forward. That may be more appropriate if you want to do that.
So then if we could, the second item for purchase is the replacement tires for our 110-yard dump truck, truck 56 as it's referred to, which was purchased used several years ago. And as the write-up indicates, we are down to minimum safe, acceptable tread gap going into winter. We truly do believe that we need to put tires for traction standpoint. As indicated, we did solicit quotes, and the our tread rock and Antioch, which is Bridgestone Tires from dealership under the state contract going a little bit.
Like, are all the other bidders here within the state contract also?
The state contract, thank you for asking,
is awarded by the state, I want to call it procurement office, that's not technically accurate, under the central management services function, and I believe it is open to anyone to come in, and I also believe that regional companies can bid on just a region. Grand Dock is a authorized distributor of Bridgestone and Firestone. In this case, Bridgestone and Firestone's corporate office is listed as the overall provider of tires for any governmental agency that wishes to participate or take advantage of that state like contract.
My understanding of the state bid process is all these should be about the same as far as pricing. So if you want to state bid, not state purchase, this should be all the same price. They're all the same numbers. That's why I was surprised to do this. That's why I asked for that on the
case. When I asked because I called the Bridgestone Firestone corporate office to find out who is their regional authorized distributor, and it does vary, car tires, lots of them, big truck tires, glass. The corporate office did indicate that there is a cost for dismounting, mounting, balancing that stays within the purview of that distributor in terms of what they charge for that. But the actual tire itself is a fixed price right here or in PR3.
But if that's a question, the tire price for all of these was the same, but they're mounting and whatever is leaking.
No, you're wrong down.
No.
No, I know there's a difference. He just said that on the state bid, the tire should be the same price for all of them.
Right.
If there's a state purchase price. So that's why I say the difference is out of that. What they charge the amount or dismount or those type of things. He says correct.
For Bridgestone Firestone tire.
So which I would indicate that not every one of these is part of that contract, then they're not.
Right.
And every one of these bids are either a Bridgestone or a Firestone tire? Or not necessarily?
Repeat that, please.
Each one of these bids is a Bridgestone or a Firestone tire?
No.
Okay, so that
we did not typically did not stipulate we are only interested in Bridgestone Firestone. I may not be the smartest tax in the tool shed, but I would not do that.
So definitely not SUV tire.
Right. Repair of our offset skid steer loader.
We're okay moving that up forward.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
1993 vintage skid steer loader that we used quite regularly, and it one of the reasons we use it regularly and frequently, it does have a variety of attachments, a bucket, a pavement breaker, a broom, and forklift. There's a device that all of the attachments attach to that is part of the skid steer loader, affectionately called the bob catch. It has some fatigue fractures in it and some bending. So we took it through the authorized
Bobcat dealer. We could also go to a service center. Atlas, Bobcat is on the closing. As I indicated, Maple Leaf, we could get some additional life out of that existing hatch by having it properly welded and straightened. And given the cost of that, just over $1,500 versus a totally new hatch, we recommend going with that welding by their certified welders. Mark and I, discuss, we will see where a new skid steer loader falls in our priority. We ask the board's consideration to allow us, in this case, to have that welding work done now so that at a higher level of confidence, we will be able to continue using that podcast. If our front end loader goes down, back on front end loader combination, this podcast is the only piece of equipment I have for loading any material.
So my other question, I think, you know, obviously you have to do this. The question is the repair fund is getting down there. Do you anticipate, do you know of any other needs that are going to be competing for this, for your remaining funds there, your $4,800?
Let me, again, thank you for asking that. The short answer is yes. We have an aged fleet, and right or wrong, I'll say that there's been less than adequate maintenance of our vehicles and our equipment, technically two separate accounts, some of which is in the general fund, some of each of those in the general fund, some in the water sewer. I clearly do appreciate the support by the board to allow me to allow us to start playing some catch up, but we're not there. And that is our lifeblood, that those vehicles have with me. The good news is both of those funds are in overall a well in the black, and so we can absorb some overages here. Coming in winter, I'll discuss in just a few minutes. I have as good a confidence as we can get that when we turn the key, you know, get a piece of equipment in the vehicle will function when we absolutely need it.
So at this point in time, you know, we're not going to have the maintenance on our stuff. There is a program in place there. Is that not working?
We have not done adequate maintenance on our vehicles and equipment in public works for some while. I am trying to play catch up.
And that's my question. I'm not going to catch up, but the program that we have in place now, are you looking at that to see what the pitfalls are to get us where it's supposed to be? My question.
If you were, not trying to avoid the question, but if you recall September 29th special meeting, I did have a recommendation for some skilled help.
Yeah.
I've got good people that are trying, but it's at the expense of other work, and they're not schooled in proper maintenance, so I'm trying my best.
Yeah. That doesn't reach out.
So I guess my question, Ben, I don't want to belabor this particular issue, but so if we, if and it's more to Steve and Mark, if Ron runs short in this particular account, is it possible to use monies from the other accounts that are surplus?
It's always possible to use money from other accounts that are surplus.
Okay.
Do we have anticipated accounts that will have a surplus? Should we be there?
We are still like under the normal salaries because of the vacant positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on my treasurer's report, but if I recall right, all accounts were well under the expected budget at this time.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we have the flexibility. I thought there was some, I know there are some limitations on what we can.
Yeah, small amount, it depends how big the amount it is, and across funds becomes issues too.
Okay.
But yeah, within the general and the water, specifically, as long as they're there, they're okay.
All right.
Okay, we're okay moving that item?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And then the last purchase, as written up, corner in Pershing, Cedar Lake Road, a 2-12 block carry, one trunk gave up its coat a couple of months ago, had our urban forester come out and inspect this serious rock in the remaining trunk. The oak tree immediately took out all of this in the public right away. Had some substantive dead branches, and we're bringing somebody out to the tree removal. Prudent thing would be to have that company do the removal of the dead branches. The other tree is on 411 Alpine Drive, 20-inch white caliber white oak, has some definite rot in the trunk, and it is leaning towards the house at that address. So as shown here, I did solicit for quotes to do everything. Lump sum item might need some flexibility. If prices were on the high end, pick and choose this amount of money, even though we do not have any funding for tree services, these are hazards that should be dealt with. And it goes back to the trustee Clemens to your comment where we absorb the money from, and we can, in this case, have the public works general fund.
Ron, have we ever used this company before?
They have done work. I have called for a number of municipalities, and I believe, yes, here in the village, but I cannot tell you specifically. They, if two others, were recommended by our urban forest management consultant as the company to go through.
I was just wondering when you brought on a consultant.
I'm sorry?
I was just wondering when you brought on a consultant for tree services.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah,
we're going to be out once.
And then with the village, before I was here.
Before you were here?
Yes, ma'am.
We don't have any farmers on the public work staff at this point?
That is correct. We do not. And I'm old enough to be smart enough to know what I don't know. And I don't mean that in a flippant way. When I get out of comfort, especially when we're dealing with hazards, I prefer to reach out to someone that's got that technical skill.
All right. Oh. Okay, with that, move on.
I will be very brief on a summary of our winter operations. And
can we go back to that for a moment? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Is there a way we can be work out to be part of the work? And then imagine those other parts of the work. Just want to take them over. In that account. is all of that 100% necessary right away, or can it come back to the park and then mitigate the biggest part of the risk?
I think what he's saying is there has it now.
But I mean, even if...
And they can go down any time, somebody's house.
Okay, if we remove the trees versus running out the stones right now, that's all the dirt. We kind of cut that and mitigate how much over we're looking to go right now, and then put that in for our budget so that we make sure we plan moving forward that that's something we're going to be looking at. Versus, I mean, it may be a little bit of an eyesore, but we're going to go right now. So it's going to be tough with snow, and we'll try to get it as close down to ground level as possible before asking them when to remove it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. We can easily look, but I think we're going to get a really good price at least looking at the stump grinding, for example. I think it's a really good price. We'll check our equipment then. Because to remobilize them would probably cost a little more money if we were to have somebody do it. But we can look at the rent of what we paid in the past prior to the next board meeting and the count.
The rental equipment is higher than the price.
Yeah, that's what I would call it. Yeah, check.
I'm not familiar with tools per se or actual stump grinding.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare because it's only one, so I really have no basis for saying, is this truly the price? It looks like a good price, but is it really, compared to the person that only one person responded out of the three?
I can tell you we have strength in a stump grinder local. Equipment rental trade. My memory was $225 one day, whether we used it 1 hour or 8 hours.
The other part of it too is if we're just not doing the stump grinding right now, we're only saving $307. We're still well over.
I just like to mitigate the loss. I know. Possibly know what I like to see us at or under budget versus. Over budget. And I understand losses and hazards, and I'd rather keep our people safe.
Just very briefly, as we talked at that special meeting, we were back in September going into winter operations. This is just a work in progress update. And a piece of paper is simply an abstract. We do not think this page and a half is our winter operations plan, all right? Wanted to list a few things and share where we're at from a staffing standpoint. Simply for information at this time, but clearly would appreciate guidance as winter ops plan comes together. I think in winter operations, as the number one safety task that public works agencies do. And so I take it seriously, as it should be. A plan is just pulling together the operational procedures and the resources needed. I hope to have that plan finished within the next couple of weeks. Planned actions go from anti-icing down through, we got a major event that sustained amount of snow accumulation, which happened February 2011. I like challenges, but I don't know that I need one of those.
You're not getting one of those, buddy.
Anti-icing is something we have not done a lot of, and it's something I want to grow through. From where I came, we saved a lot of lives, highway speeds. Going to liquid chemicals for anti-icing. And we also save money because it only takes about one-third of the chemical application to prevent a bond of water to pavement compared to trying to break that bond by melting down the grid. So clearly an area I want to explore, have explored, have knowledge, and will explore as I go through the full interview. The area I have the biggest concern is in our ability to maintain sustained operations 24 hours a day for 2 days, 3 days. And we've been in different number of plow routes over the years. Twelve routes, 10 routes, 8 routes, and as I'm recommending, we stay with where we started last winter. 6 plow routes, each color designating a route. Fundamentally about the same amount of time for one truck to make one pass on each road in that route, that being somewhere around 4 hours, let me say that again. One truck going into this brown route, likely to take about 4 hours to put the plow on each square foot of pavement. A big joker in the deck is the cul-de-sac and the skills of the plow in the cul-de-sac. I'll come back to that briefly in just a moment. But with the resources we have, if we're in a sustained operations, counting myself, counting the water foreman and the set of maintenance workers, we will not be able to stay in sustained operations. On the back page there, we do have some warranties identified, two for your building department, but they also have their own job to do. Mike has been generous of allowing consideration and use of one of the community service office. I've got two returning skilled workers, as they're referred to, people that will work part-time when called, in our case, for $10.28 an hour. I think some of you are aware that nearby communities and the county and I got paid considerably higher, but we did receive 5 new applicants to be a snowbird. We will interview them. We will do somewhat of a driver's test. We will do a background check before we bring them on board. I would like to have a pool of about 10 augmentees counting snowbirds to give some flexibility for those events where we start to become dangerous behind the wheel, we being ourselves. And we will renew with board approval contract agreements with the 7 contracting companies that had last year committed to help us. That'd be predominantly loading snow and hauling it away. Some of those companies do have plows for their dump truck, and whether they would be available or not, I need to finish fleshing that out. So what am I trying to say? I want to try to be as organized as we can to be able to respond across the spectrum of winter events. I very definitely
am going to see how effective anti-icing can be and what will it take for us to have better liquid capability. That's going to take some months of actually being in the fire, so to speak, before I can make any substantive recommendations. Last comment is support from other nearby local agencies. I am still going to try and get our local brethren, our local governmental agencies in the same room to at least talk resources, game plan, and how we might can help each other. I've been doing some of that on a one-on-one basis. I'm going to try and get us all worried about winter operations in the same room at the same time. Can I answer any questions?
Yeah. Sergeant, did you assume asking them for more optimism from the board? So you get your check? So you're asking now?
I need to see, no, I'm not. I need to see how well these applicants, the five of them, present themselves. I am told that certain people sitting in this room have gotten behind the plow and have done an incredible job. So I need to feel my way.
He said for us to see about 4 hours just on a regular snow snowfall to pass the group. And we're feeling this is going to be a reasonable amount of time.
Unfortunately, it depends on the snow intensity.
Right, and I'm understanding that.
The air temperature, is it freezing? Is creating real hazardous conditions? And I did not mention this, resources available in these augmentees, we will send one, two, maybe three of them in to take on the cul-de-sac to then allow at least the main truck, the primary truck, to focus on the through road. That's going to be situational, depending on the event, depending on who's available.
I would kind of 4 hours for the potential of seeing through. I know I'm not going to be a happy resident, and nobody has come to my house first by all means. So I'm just saying, you know, as a resident, I don't think I would be at the end of getting my upset phone call again. 4 hours, and you know, if everybody going elsewhere, I don't think anybody here. I just mean, just 4 hours. I mean, I understand when we have the snowfall that we had a couple of years ago, that we can't do anything about it. You know, it's a reasonable amount of snow. But the average snowfall in the light, like super small, you can still drive up a hill and just to get for safety reasons.
We had. The only thing I can offer at the moment, within my staff, we had spirited discussion of trying to go back to 8 routes, and I've run out of people before I can, within my resources, most likely, before I can staff 8 routes.
Okay. And that's why I'm saying we should maybe increase their snowbirds to have more applicants to go through the needs.
We advertise, albeit late, and that's my fault. We will not compete where other communities are offering $30 an hour.
How much?
30, 3-0.
No, we ask people to have their own public stars. Or, so, and to me, it's not working right now. I would think with the unemployment rates, you would find people jumping on that $10 power because that's still money regardless.
This advertisement closed today at 5 o'clock. Sure, it can re-advertise.
And we'll put it up on our district and on our website and get it going a little bit more to some students, a lot of people who are out in the community. I'm sure everybody knows somebody that they can kind of refer and say, hey, go take a look at the website. Got a position possibly, you know, on an on-call basis, but it's something.
I would appreciate any help on this
and taking a liberal
perspective as to if somebody knocks on my door, I'll go up to a point that they make. These augmentees will only be operating our pickups and or our one suing. CDL, commercial driving license, will not be required.
And if somebody happens to have it, then they would have to get a little bit more flexibility for some of the bigger vehicles.
Correct. Thank you.
The Metro parking lot, we still have a contractor.
Yes. Last
night. Is that posted on our website?
Yeah, but it was taken down, we'll make sure it's up. Yeah, it wasn't cheap. Not only the deadline, Daily Herald, the News Sun. Mark, do you recall? I mean, those were $200-$300.
Did we look at price points? Are we allowed to do
price points? Maybe $1,000 for one. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I was saying that they advertised in the external. More than a week is several hundred dollars. In business, one. This is crazy.
How do we send it out to
like
CLC? Can we send it out to the Department of
Employment? Hold it up. All the online job sites.
Okay. Well, can we keep an eye on our website?
Yes. We'll take off the date, application deadline, just keep it up there.
Mark? Yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
My favorite
shopping
thing.
They do your, if you want me to plug them in, here's the sign.
The white
LED miniature lights would go, as they had in the past, by the trees and the cedar lakeside of our front parking lot. And it'll be thin, according to my staff, in terms of coverage with those 25 strands. So other locations that have been lit in the past, the north side of Building Hall, the Cedar Lakeside by the previous police annex, and the Route 134 trees with the lighting we have now, we will not be able to do those. So that's where we're at. I do need some guidance here, at least in general, so that if there is desire to do something more, I can come back with either actual cost information or if there's a desire to do more, a budget to work with in terms of dollar figures.
On the 134 trees were lit last year?
Are you saying that 25 strands were from downtown too? I don't see the downtown on listed on here, Ron, so I just wasn't sure if that's what.
And we run out of long bit. The answer I'll say is for that we cannot do the trees in the actual downtown. With what we have. Unless we go a lot thinner, i.e. less coverage from these guys per tree per our provider.
Hey, what are you using in downtown? What are we using in downtown?
Not the LED colors. Those were, this tree a little bit, the ceremonial tree, as Ron says, the memorial. That means remember the victims were.
Christmas tree, Christmas tree.
But not all of them were victims, so what are they? That's how many trees there were.
I think those are all from what Ron's got. But that was the tree that had all of the larger big LED lights on.
Downtown.
Oh,
downtown.
For some reason, that tree grows a little bit each year.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to last year. I thought the top was white and the edges were good.
We were
available for them all, but I don't have a really remember. Every year's a new adventure. Yes.
There were a couple of comments that it wasn't dense enough for you.
Can you just say, well, we're accepting donations of lights so we can make them up even more dense?
I recall Trustee Clemens.
Well, I'm just trying to ask that we know how many lights we need, and we both donations to get them. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options. But that's what I want to be clear on. Are you saying we can't do the downtown 134 right now?
Unless we thin out with the quantity we have, and I heard that same comment from my staff, we went pretty thin by necessity on some trees, and it showed. I'm out of my area of expertise on this, so
I think for the board to ask the question whether we want to proceed with downtown 134, you need to know how much we need.
Right.
Yeah. And we need to know, we just received a donation from Mr. White on Ace purchases for $10.
Two more strands.
So we'll get less, you know, but we have to obviously do that really quickly because we only have one more board meeting.
Yeah. If everyone thinks it's a good idea, I think we should just allocate some funds for it. Make it complicated by asking for donations and all that stuff.
I don't know.
Not going to cost that much.
Right or wrong, but like Hometown Fest, could we take a little bit from there? And like we might, I mean, it's all staying within the community.
I don't think you want to start.
No.
I don't remember if it allowed
for that.
That's kind of outside. Yeah, that's really not part of our budget.
So can you just go into the board, what we need, and what
yeah, just find out what we need.
Cash flow, what we need, so that we can...
And then that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Regardless, we'll let you know so you think about it. We can always, everybody knows the question donations, obviously. But, and then you can make the decision at that time if the purchase or not.
This information for maybe something that will give you a number to think about. Several years ago, a couple of years in a row, there were expenditures in the range of $1,200 to $1,600 for additional lights. I can't tell you whether we were expanding areas we were covering or replacing lights that were faulty.
It was also LED as well.
In those ranges is what has been spent in past years when funds were available. So is that something you might be comfortable with, or is that way over what you would be comfortable with?
I honestly think we need to make something going forward for the purchase for right after the holidays so that we can get them at the extreme. Something in our things move, approve the spending of that in advance so then this year we may be a little more prepared. But we're putting the funds towards the purchase right after the holiday when everything gets completely marked down because they want to liquidate their stock. Could we maybe think about doing it that way?
I think that's a great way of doing it, but we just need to come up with what we need to finish off this year with first. And we don't know what that is until
let's just
figure it out. Get a good answer. So I think we need to know.
Okay,
definitely
who our actual board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll go
next. Just watch for the next tree.
All right, I give the first one to you, because I didn't include you. But he said thank you to everybody. My apologies, Don, again, I forget your name, but I kind of give everybody an update. Just kind of let everybody know if there's something wrong, or you got something additional you want to add, let me know. But I think we're, for the most part, all ready to go. Don't sure anybody notice anything that I missed. Anybody else that has chosen or would like to bring anything different, please let me know. I think we're good.
So should you offer any stand as well?
Pretty much. With that in mind, and again, November 30th, staff there at 5 for residents at the 5. I'll be done.
Do I have to increase the laptop for you first?
Yeah, I just want to put that something in.
That was Joyce. For sure.
That's Joel, if you had a basis.
Did you do it in the week? How big are those gallons, things that we use?
5 gallons.
Is it 5 gallons?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'll get more on that. Make one delivery.
No, I might have to wait for a
couple. Okay. Never know. I'm good.
Building and zoning elevator safety program agreement.
On the elevator safety program, this is just a renewal of an agreement with the state, the village to do elevator inspections versus the state fire marshal's office. We currently have 8 conveyances that need to be inspected in the village. And we're suggesting for safety purposes and for cost to those that do own elevators that we'll go ahead and approve the agreement so we can continue to do those elevator inspections in the village. As you see from the it's not in the agreement, but the state charges $100 a license. And they can't even guarantee when they're up to do inspections. Whereas you're supposed to do them annually anyway. And ours is $64.50 as a charge for the inspection and licensing together. So it's really no change in how things are done or how things have been done for years. And this is just another 3-year program letting state fire marshal know that we will do the inspections to ensure elevator safety. So,
how many elevators are in Illinois?
Top elevator is an inspection. They would do them for us, not for the state.
And how many do we have in our village?
8.
Okay.
Chapter of the lease agreement. Please.
Samaritan Village, companies of Charles Park. If you remember the last committee of the hall, we brought forth a copier of the lease agreement and about a new copier for the police department and then associated customer copy maintenance agreements for 2 other machines, and we were asked to look into a new machine for the administrative department. We did that, and we, with the new machine for the police department, an identical machine for the administrative department here at the village hall, moving one of the copiers that we have at the police department over to Public Works, we still will save about $96 a month. We were able to get a really good price from Conoco and Alta on the monthly lease fee. We still have the cost per copy, but we tried to do our best to guess what that would come to. And with the village hall's expenses of about $150 a month for what they use now, putting that into the mix, we still should save. We're projecting, again, about $96 a month. Now, the public works cost per copy agreement for the maintenance on the machine, there will be some cost there, but it's, we're thinking it will still be in the ground. We're asking if we can move forward with this agreement with 2 new machines, one for the police department, one for here, we will own the machine that we are using now, which is better than the two police departments, or more moderate, and then the other one will go to Public Works. They'll have color copy capability and will be better machine.
So the one for the administration, would that go in the one owned by your office, Mark, or the one back in the back office?
No, the front office, by the way, the clerk's currently there. The Dell and the Canon would be gone. Now that's what we used to look at the total cost for how much we spent. We don't have a per copy cost. That's why the chief is saying that we're nowhere near what was estimated for the minimums, and the police exceed that anyway. So those machines will be out. We still haven't determined what we should do, whether we should auction or just dispose of them in electronics collection. I don't think there's any value in the Dell, but we're going to reach out and see if there's anything better than happier before we come back with a recommendation. The other thing I wanted to add, too, on the cost issue is we're increasing our capabilities, too, for both color scanning, both at Village Hall, which we currently don't have and we have in hand. So that's going to be an added answer, as well as Public Works. I know that, you know, Ron also takes a lot of pictures, and scanning color would be very helpful. So,
more interesting.
Well, that's part of the cost. Thanks. No more interesting. We don't. That was the analysis that the chief did.
The cost per copy agreement covers everything, but paper and tape. All the ink, the toner cartridges, and the mechanical replacement, that's all part of it. And when I say the older of the machine, it's still good. It'll suit purposes very well.
Everybody okay moving that forward?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. Ms. Cave?
First item there is updated those code. I'm looking at the exact training. Joyce pointed this out, and our legal counsel reviewed the issue. In a nutshell, what this does is remove the annual requirement from our village code for you all to do open meetings act training.
Yes.
No.
any new voting official or appointed official still has to do it, and there are the remaining individuals that still need to do it annually. Those are identified and then they haven't changed. But.
Okay. Let's go forward.
Yeah. I'm fine with moving this forward as long as the council promises that anything that changes is going to be given to us absolutely immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately. Yesterday.
Fair enough. Application and verification from blah, blah, blah.
You did get a newsletter. We will continue to do that.
All right. Next item was Microsoft Enterprise Agreement. That's a 3-year agreement for software services as well as licensing for all the Microsoft products that you use, Office, the server, softwares, everything that we have, Public Works, Police Department, as well as Village Hall. We asked our current technologies, the IT consultant, to help us analyze the enterprise agreement. And, you know, obviously, is it something we need or is it something we can do without or there are other options? But under the software and all the licensing requirements now with, you know, everything, including your phones and everything else, this was a cost-effective way to ensure we were covered with everything. Down the road, they're saying that you have to license each phone that you talk to. But this will cover all that. You don't have to do anything additional. It covers all our licenses. It covers any software updates or upgrades along the 3 years. and it's essentially more of a program than the other two that are listed down there that are more expensive HD on an annual basis. Those are more as needed, so that's where Microsoft gets you. This one is higher than we had budgeted, however, though. I think it's $505 than we had budgeted. $899 per year, I'm sorry. It's $899 per year budgeted, and we got no way of knowing what that would be, so we couldn't really get a good accurate estimate. But we will be saving $345 because our consultant tells us that we no longer need a Symantec antivirus license. We will get all the updates on virus, the virus scanning software, as well as the DAT files or whatever they're called now that identify new viruses. We'll receive those updates through the Microsoft licensing agreement, so engineering will save that money. So we'll recommend that we approve the enterprise agreement again for the next 3 years. So. The next item is need your concurrence or consensus to move forward with this project. The CMAP is offering, CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency Planning, is offering a grant program to help improve energy efficiency at for property owners, really more residences than businesses. Their overall goal is 15% for each homeowner that enrolls in the program. They're requesting the village's endorsement of the program so they can solicit people to enroll. It will not cost the village any money per se, other than to allow them the community room and the advertising on our website, send out a flyer, email blast, people notifying that the project is available. It's a program where the resident has to pay $100 upfront for a study, an energy survey of their home to determine how and what ways, if any, they can save money on energy consumption. The most effective ways that have generally been found from what I'm told part of this project is just extra insulation and maybe ceilings and penetrations between floors and outdoors. There's not any money to do new windows, for example, or things that major, but they will look at any safety items in residents' homes as part of the energy survey as they move forward. Running properly, ventilation repair, things of that nature. And then they would fund up to 70% of the program, of the improvements, up to what is it, $1,700? So it could cost somebody $4,000. Generally, they're seeing anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 for the improvements. So if a resident were to enroll, their total cost would then be $4,100 if it was on the high end, for example, $1,700. So they would still have, $2,400 that they would be out of pocket for. So I don't want anybody to believe that that's a complete grant for the improvements. But they can get some money back for that. So if, you agree, we'll endorse the program and then offer the space for this energy efficiency, whether they call, Energy Impact Illinois is the contractor for CMAP that's implementing the grant program. We'll offer them space and obviously advertise to residents that it's available for use.
Mark, they're requiring that the resident use their contractor for the improvement.
Yes, the contractors have already been vetted through CMAP and I asked them about that. They have a QA program for, it is their contractor, and they do some QAQC by CMAP, by they'll go out with the contractor every so often to make sure they're within the guidelines of the program so residents aren't getting out. But yes, you're correct, they are CMAP contractors.
And their background checks, they background check their employees and everything to make sure we're not letting people that don't need to be in the household with children.
They do all the vetting for that. Yes, that's correct.
But if something happens, will we not liable?
No, it's not. I mean, not that anybody can't be sued at any time.
It can be dragged into court any time, but you shouldn't be. Well, I say that hesitantly.
It's their program. We're only endorsing it. But yeah.
Are we getting any benefits from status?
A loss of potential income and revenue if the utility taxes go down. But there's no added benefits.
I think they're already calling home story about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, because we advertise too.
I
have But the endorsement's the key, so if there's consensus to move forward, then we will. I'll let them know.
So, Mike, does that hurt us by endorsing somebody?
It not doesn't hurt you. It's just, I mean, the chances of liability too, I would put that remote.
Yeah, those type of things.
And it's certainly the customer's choice to choose to do this or not. I think it's an opportunity we're allowing them to come on board for.
Okay, move forward with the endorsement. Okay, done. New construction and demolition recycling facility.
Just to be clear, we don't need any action, but if the consensus is to go forward, we'll just go ahead and implement the program and set up the meetings and let me watch it.
Mark, people aren't required once they pay the $100 they're not tied to the gap before the repair.
Do you want to list the decision for approval, or are we still waiting for the short consensus here? You don't need to go
forward. Sounds like we can forward to the consensus.
Yeah.
Okay, the final item, Sandy Cole, state representative, sent letters out to select residents of the village of Round Lake and maybe some other areas that couldn't get specific on that. Attached to her letter was a map purportedly showing a 1 mile radius from the proposed site in Round Lake Park. Apparently there were a couple of precincts that were targeted for the mailings. My home falls within the 1 mile radius, and I wasn't privileged enough to receive a letter from Sandy Cole. I talked to her today about why I wasn't apprised the courtesy of receiving a letter that she thought was important enough to send out to our residents, and what specific things I should be concerned about at the facility so that I could pass that on to educate people. And her sole response was, well, wouldn't you want the public and members of your community to have the opportunity to express concerns on it? And she couldn't give me any more detail about what we should be concerned about and why it wasn't mailed to all of the residents within the 1 mile radius. And she seemed slightly embarrassed that there were areas when I asked, I'm within the 1 mile. Well, you're near the fringe, so it doesn't matter. Oh, and I didn't mail anything to the residents of Round Lake Park. So apparently not all of the public is important enough to be notified of the public meeting that she was concerned about. Certain residents being notified about. Anyway, we had some exhibits that were provided to Round Lake Park from Groot and the Shaw Environmental Incorporated, who apparently is handling the application for Groot. That's the larger printout of what we were given on the 8.5 by 11. Shows the facility, there's a site plan that shows berms and the traffic flow pattern within the site. And we don't have
many details other than that. Mark, can you add to it?
The EPA, we're trying to get the permit application. We haven't received a copy yet. The public meeting, though, was scheduled, tentatively scheduled at least for November 13th from 6 to 8. The location was at Purdue View School, but that's moved to Park School. My understanding, it may be confirmed, but I had not seen the confirmation for that meeting yet. It's going to be an open house.
Park School on Town Line Park Road in Round Lake.
Park School, 400 Town Line Road in Round Lake.
November
13th from 6 to 8
p.m. It's going to be an open house. The IEPA will have staff at the meeting with plans similar to something and exhibits like that. And then we'll be accepting comments through November 30th.
So you have not received any documentation, period, from anybody, so can't hold them.
No, there was maybe a couple weeks ago was the letter that I was talking particularly letters, notification from IEDA that they were planning the facility in Mount Lake Park. That was it. It's just one page that says that they're planning a facility. The part of the reason was on the meeting tonight, but there hasn't been a lot of information available. I've talked to Swalco, Walter Willis, to try and get anything he knew, and so until Sandy Colt busted everything loose from that respect, but I, a couple weeks ago, I don't know the exact date.
And
isn't
that letter containing the location exactly so we knew how close the vicinity to our residents?
Do
you want to see the
letter?
Well, I have
to say
before.
Okay.
Yeah, we
have that. Yeah. So, we could the EPA, we could not just go down and get the actual EPA permit.
I called them, but I didn't get a copy yet. So. Oh, there you go.
Thank you. I should look at the big one.
Probably. That's
what
I wanted
to have,
the EPA
contract
was put together.
Well, I'm not sure that we don't have yet. I've asked for it, I'm told it's coming. So.
I think one of the inconsistencies that was pointed out, I'm not sure how this relates or what the matter really is, that apparently this was filed in Will County instead of Lake County.
Jim, has
this been approved through the park? Have they approved it?
No, they have not approved it yet, is our understanding.
Okay.
We believe they have been in discussions with Fruit Group, owns a transfer facility, I believe they call it, on Porter Drive, the old Rock Lumber site. This is south of it, on the west side of Porter, and north of 120, adjacent to their current site.
Here's the map that they submitted was from 1979. Not a current map that they had on this paper.
That's another inconsistency that the paperwork will show. Yeah. They used to make a map that is 19 years old and doesn't show the growth of the new homes and residences that are actually within
the
target area.
The two key things that I got from Sandy Cole that concerned her was the statement the facility has secured a special use permit from Will County to fulfill the requirements for local zoning approval. Whether that was a typo from a cut and paste document is very probable reason for that, which is still embarrassing that the application would be incorrect having that, and that the map was from 1979 data.
So So does Robert Clark have a copy of the EPA equipment? You know?
That I couldn't tell you for sure.
When I called Springfield, they said that they didn't hand anything out. Nothing was. So I don't know. They told me to call back this week. When I called here last week, I spoke to somebody. They took a copy and they said, you know, I called the 217 number. And when I called, they said that they didn't have any information at the moment, that they didn't give anything out. So they told me to call back this week.
I think one of the important things that we need to say now, you know, before we even move forward with it, is we don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but we're not being given the opportunity to know exactly what it entails to be able to make that choice. And there wasn't apparently an open forum for people until Sandy or whomever got a little more insistent about making that happen. I think what we're seeing in the paperwork leads me to just wonder more. I have more questions than I have answers.
I mean, when you remember driving down 120 in the morning, when I live in a subdivision, there is no way you can get out. I mean, if they want to go further now, how are you going to ever get out of there? Mm-hmm. It's bad enough you can't get out now. They need a light pulse or something over there. Where I live in my subdivision, it's terrible. What are they going to do with those trucks coming in and out all the time?
According to this letter, it says the village of Round Lake Park has already approved this industrial use.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to get clarity on that. And if they did approve it, then what basis did they, what information did they have? If they don't have the permit, then they make a decision.
They have to apply for that, and I talked with a couple of trustees. They have applied for the permit, but they've voted on this permit. Such as the mayor says, there will be two issues that are doing the transfer station on one side and then the process on the other side.
Yeah, but you're going to have all that. It's going to be going to knock the whole way out. And they look for it out and open this trouble. It came from that to come back to.
I think that we need more clarification on exactly what it is they're processing and how dangerous those products could possibly be. I don't see that spelled out very specifically in this particular application. So there are a lot of questions yet, but I think it's just important that before we jump the gun that this is going to be the worst thing in the world, you know, let's see what it really is before we call it the duck.
And so we're how this can be a representative from the group as well, you know?
Well, you know, even in the application it says that these things aren't sent in honestly, and I don't know the wordage, I'm sure our council would know, but if they didn't make a good faith effort to tell the truth in the application, I guess this goes backwards again. And it's not going to help them to get what they want anyway. So I'm sure that that's not necessarily in their best interest. But that's why we're the watchdogs of our own properties. And this is why, you know, the board is here, you know, to do this job. So I just don't want everybody to go into a panic.
We're in a panic. And you'll figure myself out and move for what?
Well, but we still have to be responsible in how we move forward, in my opinion. I mean, we have to be responsible. We have to make sure what we're looking at before we, you know, get into a tizzy over it. There are inconsistencies. There are questions. I think everyone has some issues with that. Let's get those answered and see, you know, what we're actually dealing with. But that's just how I normally move forward.
And I do have one of these, I guess, in Dynam. Which they have not had,
which is our normal. You can go to Zion, they can go, there's one on 120 and 12. Huge up a lot of them. Huge.
Not just concerned, we have a couple of schools within these
suburbs
and other residents, to say the least. And I just find it very questionable why the map didn't show something more up to date for the number of residents that are actually involved. And I noticed, when was the. They said there was a notice. Do we not look at notices for our other surrounding villages here to see what we should be looking at if this was in the paper?
Well, there's two. The application wasn't filed by October 1st, with the IEDA. And yet the map is old. It's supposed to be construction and demolition debris. It's funny, though, there is a letter in here as part of the permit that says facility has secured zoning approval from the Village of Brown Lake Park. Mm-hmm. And later it says Will County. But to your question, it's zoning only. It's not the authority for the plan yet from Brown Lake Park. They would still have to approve the permit. Not for the IEDA. The IEDA is the sole authority on that type of facility.
So that when it says they've already approved for industrial use, that's the zoning.
Only zoning. Right. Right. And that was the letter in here that says Village of Brown Lake Park. There is another one that says Will County. That's the one that we received maybe a couple weeks ago, and that was it. So that was after October 1st. After when the permit was submitted.
Did any of our board members receive the letter directly from Sandy Clark?
Directly, no. I received it from another resident.
But she mentioned that we were going to discuss it at the meeting tonight, and that there was at least a couple of trustees concerned about it. Told me that there were a couple of trustees that lived within 1 mile radius. When I asked about at least the courteous of getting a copy sent to me, and oh, by the way, I am within 1 mile radius, so if you're so concerned, why didn't everybody within 1 mile radius get your letter?
I think that's another avenue of exploration, but as far as anyone's motives, one way or the other, I think we should all just remain steadfast in getting all the information before we make facts. But no, I just don't. I know that people are going to panic because they don't want anything that's going to hurt them in their backyard. And let's face it, Bright Meadows is going to be, that's your backyard. That's a really close backyard. I'm also concerned, not that it's our village, but even the trailer park is right back there. Do these people really know that? And so that's not our responsibility. You know, just as a human being who doesn't want anyone hurt, I'm kind of curious. So I think we have some evil eyes on this, and we're doing our due diligence, and we'll be doing the right thing.
Okay. And what's so magical about 1 mile?
We don't know.
It's an EPA, apparently an EPA regulation of some sort for any kind of possible pending situations with fallout of any sort or contamination. You know, again, too, we're talking a lot about stormwater management, and you have small creeks going right back there. So, you know, if they're getting in drywall materials that have the pre-treatment on it for water and such, those could be potentially problematic. So I just don't know how much they've worked out, how much we're not being told for the reason of not knowing specifically, or just it hasn't come that far yet. I don't know.
They do share processing taking place inside their enclosed building, but we have a picture in that at this point.
Exactly. I think we have a lot of questions to ask. That's what we're
here to do. Okay, one more time. November
13th, 6 to 8 at Park School, 400 Town Line Road.
We'll be sharing the flyer when we get it.
Right, now, Mark Town has a copy of the EPA permit stuff. But if you want to look at it or get a copy, they can look at it.
And Tom, where do you get another copy of that one?
Do we have a copy or scanner that we could scan it in and make those
a lot of pages.
Copies available.
It's like 100
and great county parts. We're just trying to do agreement. We're going to
have to cheese.
was getting at digital availability.
Yes, I'm all for it, but that's going to be one heck of a file.
Martha.
Okay, trustee Newby has an appointment to get to tonight, so are we done with the group discussion for now?
For now.
Get the copy available. Suggested new topics, anything new tonight?
I would just like to keep bringing back how we can use our properties, utilize our properties, or diminish the extra cost of some of our, or a big company stuff. Whatever word you wish to use.
Tree preservation.
I would also like to ask if it's possible from Ron, if you could sit with us for a while and perhaps you can kind of give us an idea of all of our vehicles and exactly what we might be looking at, so we sort of have an idea of what might be coming to the board in the very near future or
Battery truck, two new six-wheelers,
and
another new combination,
and
back
I would actually ask that you not include the white
and that's for next year.
I'm wondering if we should revisit our rates that we're charging.
Snowbird.
Snowbird rate. Flower rate.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about that next time?
Yeah.
And then finally, if we can visit one more time the transparency issue with what we are putting out and what we're doing, see what else our next benchmark might be.
Yes. I started that, but I didn't get very far.
Well, I'm here for you, man.
I did find one for us that does it. I wanted to look at more. Yeah. The website was designed, right?
Well, the website was not designed with the one very good thing, too, but I want to make sure, we've had a list of things we wanted to accomplish from a transparency standpoint, according to the institute, and perhaps we can just take a gander at where we were, where we are, and what we still may want to achieve.
Okey-dokey.
Anything else? So
no
executive session. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
I don't care which one though. Okay.
Good night. We're over.